This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Sports Bettors Paradise on the Bet Rivers Network.
All right, Jimmy, out with the red hot Paul Stone. How about this? How he opens up the week last week on his Friday picks on the first round. A&M plus one wins outright. James Madison plus five and a half. Never in doubt against Wisconsin. Grand Canyon wins outright plus 5.5. Northwestern plus 2.5 wins outright. And UAB plus seven only loses by 4-5-0. Four of the dogs straight up. Congratulations, Paul Stone.
Well, Jimmy, I wish they were all that easy, but we both been at this long enough to know they're not. So, it's a new day, a new week, and we move on to the Sweet 16. But it is good to have days like that. You need a few of those every now and again to make this thing work. So, yeah, hopefully we can continue that in the Sweet 16 round.
All right, let's get to the Sweet 16. We got four games. We're going to focus on the Friday games here. Bruce Marshall took care of the Thursday games for us, a winning week for Bruce last week as well. So combined, excellent by you and Bruce for the first week of the tournament. Let's see if we can do the same in the Sweet 16. Friday's action starts first with Marquette, a 6.5-point favorite over the Cinderella, NC State, the only double-digit seed left in the tournament. They won seven in a row, and the big boy is tough to deal with. Almost covered against Oakland in overtime. But I'm not sure which side of the fence you were on that one, but that was either pulling one out of a hat and then taking it away from you at the last minute, and the total is 150.5. You're looking at this Wolfpack, I think, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on it, Jimmy. Without question, NC State, the most improbable entry in the Sweet 16, the only double-digit seed remaining. They entered the ACC tournament 17-14 on the season, clearly needed to win five games in 5 days, highly unlikely, but that's exactly what they did there in Washington, D.C. in the ACC tournament. They win those five games, four is the betting underdog. They qualify for the big dance. And once in the big dance, they've clearly taken advantage of their opportunity. They upset Texas Tech in the first round as a 5.5-point underdog and then hold off upstart Oakland in overtime there in the second round. Important to point out, double-digit seeds in the Sweet 16 round as underdogs, 15-7-1 against the spread since 2011. So something to think about there as well. You mentioned NC State's big man, DJ Burns, listed at 6'9 and 275 pounds. I think that was maybe a couple of burgers back, but he's a big boy in the block without question. He's just been so efficient offensively for NC State during their recent run. In fact, you look at these last four games, he's averaging just a tick under 20 points a game, but he shot 72% from the field, mostly from close range, but 33 of 46 from the field in the last four games. So Burns has been incredibly efficient for the Wolfpack. Marquette, they've been strong all year. They did play before the tournament started their previous six games without their unquestioned leader, Tyler Kolek, just a do-everything guard who contributes in so many areas. He played the first two games of the tournament. Didn't look like he had missed a beat. He looks like he's at full strength, so the Golden Eagles are ready to roll. But this NC State team, like you mentioned, they've won seven straight games. They've defeated the likes of Duke, North Carolina, and Texas Tech during that stretch. I think they're coming to Dallas with a lot of confidence and a little swag. I think they're going to keep this one within shouting distance, take NC State plus 6.5 over Marquette.
All right, the 7-game winning streak, the four of the last six, they've held their opponents to under 70 points, has NC State. Watching the Colorado-Marquette game, I'm watching, I'm thinking, does Colorado realize that Tyler Kolek is left-handed? I mean, over and over, could you take away his dominant side, please? 10 of 13 inside the arc for Tyler Kolek. Golden Eagles shot 62% from the floor. It did not cover against Colorado. So Colorado, with all those pros, didn't play a whole lot of defense. I think NC State will D them up a little bit more. I'm looking for a low-scoring game as well. I think that 150.5 might be a little bit high, but I like the Wolfpack as well, plus the 6.5 points. Let's move on to the second game of the early session on Friday night. And Purdue, boy, Purdue, Hey, look, you know, they got bounced last year. And how did they get bounced? They sagged on Edie, and they forced those young freshmen to shoot threes. Well, they go from in the 300s for their rank and three-point percentage to now, with their hot shooting performance in the opening weekend, especially against Utah State, they're now number one, the best three-point shooting team in the country. It's a nice combination, huh? Zach Edey, a 7'4 experienced center, and also the number one three-point percentage team in college basketball. They embarrass Utah State. Gonzaga playing in much better form as of late. They played earlier this year in Maui. Purdue won that one as well. Purdue's 5 at 154.5 here.
You know, first of all, I'll say, as you kind of touched on, Jimmy, this is not the same Purdue team. This is a better Purdue team than last year. And this is not the same Zach Edey, in my opinion. This is a better version of Zach Edey. But looking at Gonzaga, you know, what a testament to the program that Mark Few has built there in Spokane. They've now advanced to the Sweet 16 for the 9th consecutive year. I read something, I think this is right, that the next longest streak of Sweet 16 appearances is only 3. So Gonzaga's been to 9 straight Sweet 16s, Houston and maybe some other teams been to 3 straight, but just an incredible run, incredible job by Mark Few there in Spokane. A month ago, many were questioning whether this Gonzaga team would even receive a berth in the NCAA tournament, but again, here they are now for the 25th straight year. The Zags have dominated their opponents in their first two games of the tournament, won both those games by 21 points. First of all, they made easy work of 12 seed McNeese State, a team which was a popular upset pick in many of the brackets. And then they ran away from a Kansas team in the second half on Saturday. So once reeling, this Gonzaga team now 16-2 straight up since January 18th. But I believe the Zags run ends this Friday night in the Motor City. Frankly, in my opinion, they had a pretty easy 2-game set to get here. McNeese, as much as I liked them all year, they were simply outmanned against the Zags in this year's edition of Kansas. Not your typical Kansas team. They were also without their top player, was Kansas, and Kevin McCullough Jr. Purdue playing only 243 miles from their West Lafayette, Indiana campus there in Detroit, Michigan this Friday. Purdue, we've talked about it, but this is just a complete basketball team. They're 3rd in adjusted offensive efficiency nationally, 16th in defensive efficiency. They've got 4 double-digit scores led by Edie. They've got 2 more guys that average around 7 points a game. And, of course, I mean, Zach Edie, he's the centerpiece, the 7'4", big man from Canada, 24.5 points a game, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2.3 blocks a game. Just affects the game in so many ways. And you mentioned the 3-point shooting this year. The top 3-point shooting team in the nation at 41%. Also one of the top rebounding teams in the nation. So the Boilers, in my opinion, the complete package. I believe also, as you alluded to in your opening comments on this game, they've got a little bit of additional incentive, perhaps, as if they need more incentive at this stage. But that loss to Fairleigh Dickinson in the opening round last year, I think that gives them a little more juice. I like Purdue to win this game by more than 5 points over the Zags Friday in Detroit.
Well, that's why I like them. But I wanted to see what they did. I mean, you improve your weaknesses in the offseason. Rarely do you improve, you know, your skill level during the season. And when I saw this team, the way they were shooting very early, winning that Maui Classic in the final against Marquette, and, you know, and I mean, like I watched Ben Simmons. All right, I'll see. He didn't work a lick in the offseason. I mean, they go from the 300s to number one. I mean, number two before the tournament started, but that tells you all you need to know. And I like that hunger factor in that, I mean, you know, them coming off of a sour loss, not just because it worked for Virginia. Virginia had to have some breaks bounce their way, but they were a different team in that tournament following. And Purdue was one of those teams that had bounced against them, or Purdue would have gone to the Final Four. Hadn't been to the Final Four since 1981 at Joe Barry Carroll, another seven-footer, Paul Stone, when they the Darryl Dunkenstein and the Louisville Cardinals won it all. All right, let's move on to Houston and Duke. The new blood and the blue blood, huh? The Houston Cougars, man, they're here every year. Duke is trying to find their way post-Krzyzewski. But the Cougars kind of fell apart, almost gave it away to the Texas A&M Aggies as a 12-point lead. They all of a sudden they go to overtime, but they pull it out by five. Houston is 4, minus 108, 134.5 over Duke in their home state of Dallas.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Jimmy, of the four Sweet 16 games being played Friday, this is the one keeping me up at night, I guess, if you will. And the reason is that both of these teams, in a nutshell, have blemishes. You know, first of all, as far as Duke, this is a good Duke team, very good Duke team, but it's not a great Duke team. I mean, the Blue Devils, they lost at both Arkansas and Georgia Tech. It was a long time ago, around Thanksgiving, but lost at both Arkansas and Georgia Tech earlier in the year. They also lost a conference game at Wake Forest, and they lost at home to Pittsburgh. So they've lost to some, less than NCAA tournament caliber opposition. They also entered the NCAA tournament on a two-game losing streak. They lost their regular season finale at home by 5 to North Carolina as a 4.5-point favorite. And then they lost to double-digit underdog NC State, as we talked about, in the ACC tournament. The Blue Devils also, I believe, they got kind of a favorable draw, a favorable road to this point. Defeated Vermont, the America East Conference champion, by 17 points in the first round. And then they just blew out Sun Belt Conference champion James Madison by 38 in the second round. And James Madison, they were kind of everybody's darlings. But, you know, the Dukes, they're from the Sun Belt. They lost to Appalachian State twice during the season, a good Appalachian State team, but they're not on Duke's level. So I think they've had a fairly easy road to this point. Houston, meanwhile, for most of the season, they performed at an extremely high level. Been, you know, just one of the very top teams, if not the top team in the country, for much of the year. But recently, as you mentioned, they have shown some chinks in their armor in recent games. They're obviously operating with a shorter bench due to a series of injuries to key reserves. They lost in the Big 12 final to Iowa State by 28 points, just out of nowhere, by far their worst performance of the year. And then in their most recent game on Sunday against Texas A&M, they lead A&M by 12 points with under 2.5 minutes remaining. The Aggies rally to send the game to overtime. Houston eventually wins the game 100-95 in overtime. One of the things that concerns me about Houston is it's no secret they're not a great free throw shooting team. They only shoot 69% from the line on the year. They missed 3 free throws down the stretch to help the Aggies force overtime on Sunday. So that could be a issue. And also, clearly, Houston's calling card, it's that smash-mouth defense. They want to bully you around. They want to push you around. And on Sunday, 4 of their 5 starters fouled out of the game. The 5th starter had 4 fouls. Depending on how the game is called Friday in Dallas, if it's officiated tightly, that obviously could be a huge issue for the Houston Cougars. But I like Houston small here. Minus 4 points over Duke. I'll take Kelvin Sampson over John Shire. Give me the Houston Cougars minus 4 over Duke.
Yeah, I'm glad Shed got first-team All-American. Was happy for that. I mean, he's really, you know, he's actually a good student as well. I mean, I like the way he handled them after kind of that in-state rivalry between A&M and Houston. He kind of made sure his team got back in the handshake line and also gathered his team after, kind of like, you know, this ain't good enough, guys. He's also protected the ball. They are 4th in least turnovers in the country. Now, you mentioned that free throw percentage, 300th in free throw percentage is Houston. And, well, we go to previous Houston team. It cost them a national championship in Albuquerque in the early 80s where Jim Valvano kept putting them at the line there. But opposing field goal percentage, number two in the country. That's what they do. And they also, man, they do a great job of going in there, tapping that ball out on the offensive glass, giving them a reset. So many second chance opportunities. But you're right. That whistle's going to be a big deal. You know Duke is more of the finesse. Although Filipowski can bang. He's a big boy, you know. But man, Houston, and it's generally called a little tighter in the tournament. So, you know, maybe it's they let him play a little bit more in the all we got to do is watch an Alabama Grand Canyon game. I mean, that was a whistle every Nate Oates was going bananas in that game. But the whistle will be important, and it cautions me just a little bit on these Cougars. Man, if I could know how that game was being officiated, maybe making a preliminary bet, and then maybe feel out. This is a great thing about live betting. See how that game is being officiating. It's going to have a great deal on who has their way in that one. I think this is a great game in the next one. And you know what? What we don't think about Tennessee, they found way they can win besides just being a hot shooter. Well, they shoot 12% from three-point range. Connect, his worst shooting day game of the season for the Tennessee Volunteers, and they still won. It got close at the end, but they had a 12-point lead very late. The Creighton Blue Jays, they took care of. They kind of got their scare. If Oregon could make free throws, they may not be here. But we know what they're capable of, blasting UConn earlier this year in Omaha. Both of these teams are in the top 10 in opposing field goal percentage. They play defense. And one thing about Creighton is usually a finesse, skilled-oriented team, shooting. They can shoot a lot of threes. Kalkbrenner's tough, man. He's a factor down there. But, man, there's so much sustainability in this Tennessee roster, coaching staff. And then you add a piece. There's no perfect piece added like Dalton Connect to this Tennessee team to try and get him over the hump. And for Rick Barnes, this is going to be a great one. Tennessee, 2.5, minus 114, 143.5.
Yeah, I tell you, first of all, just to kind of backtrack a little bit, man, what a great series of both Thursday and Friday of Sweet 16 matchups. I mean, yeah. We've got eight just great games. These are high caliber, intriguing games. There's none that you just look at and say, man, that's a stinker. I'm not going to watch that game. I'm going to be tuned in to all eight of them. But this NCAA tournament, you know, we often hear it described as survive in advance. And that's obviously exactly what Tennessee did in its ugly 4-point win over Texas on Saturday night. They only shoot 34% from the field. You indicated that 12% from three-point territory, only hit 3 of 25 attempts from beyond the arc. You mentioned their All-America, first-team All-America sharpshooter guard Dalton Connect, 40% three-point shooter on the year, only connects on one of his 8 three-point attempts. But the Volunteers, again, they survive in advance. They out-rebound the Longhorns by 6, commit 5 fewer turnovers, do just enough to get that 4-point victory. So they were lucky to move on. And much like Tennessee, Creighton, I think they have to feel fortunate as well to be headed to Detroit this weekend. Oregon led by 4, had the ball with under 40 seconds remaining. As you mentioned, free throws an issue, couldn't hold on. Creighton rallies to force overtime. Game still tied at the end of the first overtime. Creighton ultimately prevails 86-73 in double overtime. So no question about it, Creighton is a game opponent. This is a good basketball team. In fact, they've actually defeated 3 of the remaining Sweet 16 teams. They beat Connecticut, Marquette, and Alabama all this season. But even though Tennessee, they're off that poor shooting performance, and it's well chronicled that Rick Barnes, he's not exactly a moneymaker for those of us who might wager a few pennies on these games. 10-22 against the spread historically during the NCAA tournament. But I think the Volunteers are going to win here. I think Connect is going to regain his stroke, the transfer from Northern Colorado. I think the Volunteers are a little bit better. I think they're going to win by 3 or more. I like the Volunteers over the Blue Jays Friday in Detroit.
All right, so Paul Stone with 4 more picks for the Friday night Sweet 16 games. Coming off of that 5-0 week. No pressure, Paul. No pressure. We're all plowing in now behind you. So we'll be back next week for the Final Four. Paul, great stuff as always. Good luck to you. And for Paul Stone, I'm Jimmy Ott here on the Sports Bettors Paradise on the Bet Rivers Network.